So then my husband said, you can do this virtually. And I thought, what do you mean virtually? Nobody's working virtually. And at that time, you didn't hear of people working virtually. And so one day I was on the phone with Apple, with their Apple rep, and I heard this dog barking in the background. And I said, are you working from home? And she kept apologizing profusely. And she says, I'm so sorry. You're not supposed to hear that. And I said, no. Tell me more. Your secret is safe with me, you know? And she says, yeah, we work virtually, and there are, a certain number of individuals that work remotely. And I thought, well, gosh, if Apple could do it virtually, Claudine can do it virtually.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you are new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the real scoop on what it takes to build and launch and scale a successful services-based business in today's world, in the season that we find ourselves in. And I was talking with some of my clients recently, and I noticed that many entrepreneurs struggle with, what am I supposed to do today? Especially if you came from corporate and you got in the office at 8 a.m. and you sat down at your desk and your day was virtually planned out for you because you had meetings with colleagues, you had your tasks to do, you had your goals, you had your KPIs, and now you're an entrepreneur. Now you're a coach or a consultant and you're sitting at your desk and it's like, oh my God, what do I do now? So today's guest is going to help you answer that question. Her name is Claudine Land, and she is a business strategist and owner of Virtual Ingenuity. And after 20 years in the healthcare industry, in marketing and sales, she decided to launch her own business after a stint as a stay-at-home mom as well for 10 years. So she founded Virtual Ingenuity to provide resources and to motivate business owners across the globe to reach their full potential. And with her vast experience in sales and marketing and business development, she provides her clients with tools to do just that. And today we're going to break that down for you. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Claudine Land.
Thank you, Deb. Thanks for having me on your podcast today.
I am so thrilled to have this conversation. As you might know, we always ask our guests, what is your Life After Corporate story? So what was that pivotal moment when you decided that the corporate world wasn't for you any longer?
Yeah. So, I think having my first child, that's a great question, having my first child and trying to navigate motherhood and traveling between six states and marketing to my clients then, that was, I think, the changing point for me that said, it's so much. And especially being in the top 3% of my team with sales and marketing, in my area, in my region, rather, it was amazing. I did great work, absolutely loved what I did, but I found it difficult to navigate being a mother and also being in the corporate world. I felt as though I was doing too much of one or the other. So either spending too much time in the corporate world and not enough time with my baby at the time. So I decided it's time to make that change.
And it's a, it's a tough decision to make, especially when you love your job. But there comes this point where something's got to give, right? And you either have to outsource motherhood, which I did for about 7 years, really. I mean, I was there for a long time after my son was born. I took almost 8 months of maternity leave. But once I went back to work, it was 7 years of on the road. And then I decided I just couldn't do that anymore.
That's right. I felt the same way.
Wow. So how old were your children when you decided to leave corporate?
Well, I left corporate when my son was, he was less than a year old. And the company that I worked for was a prescription monitoring company. At that time, I was traveling between various states in the South. And the company actually made provisions for me to work from home, Deb. Because
wow, that's amazing back then.
It was, because they really just didn't want to lose me. I was grateful for that opportunity, but then I felt that I was spending too much time still doing the corporate thing, you know, in corporate life, rather than spending the time that I felt that I needed to spend with my baby at the time. And I just wanted to be there full time for my child.
And so you made that decision.
So I made that decision. And, you know, I don't regret it at all. It's been the best decision that I've made.
And I think, you know, this is just happening more and more, especially after the pandemic and now in this economic challenging time that we find ourselves in with the economy. One in four women are questioning whether or not they stay in the workplace, according to the McKinsey and LeanIn report that was completed last year. And so entrepreneurship becomes a viable alternative, business ownership or consulting or coaching or fractional services of some sort become the answer for women who want to have both, right? A rewarding career and enjoy motherhood and be part of their children's upbringing. So what was that like for you when you first started out? Where did you start? Were you doing what you do now when you first launched? And how long ago was that?
Gosh, that was 10 years. I took 10 years off. So that was about 6 years ago. And it was extremely challenging for me going from high heels, you know, wearing suits every day to flip-flops. You know, and it literally took me 5 years to get used to not wearing heels and to wearing flip-flops and sandals. But even though I was with my baby, I really wasn't at home because I was so busy taking my son everywhere, letting him experience life and educational resources, just letting him go out and learn as much as he could at that age. And I did the same thing 2 years later with my daughter.
Yeah. So you were a single mom for 10 years total. I mean, a stay-at-home mom?
Stay-at-home mom for 10 years.
And then you launched your business.
And then I launched my business. I said to my husband one day, Deb, I said, you know, my kids don't need me as much anymore. They were in elementary school, almost finishing elementary school. And I was there for, you know, award ceremonies, taking pictures. Of course, I was never in the pictures because I was taking them, but I was always there and it was great. And then I said, you know, I'd love to get back in the working world, not necessarily in corporate, but helping businesses, helping them to navigate, write grants, helping them to scale, because that's what I had a grant writing business prior to this one, and I just wrote grants all day for major medical institutions and was very successful at it and loved it.
So did you start your business as a grant writer?
I started a previous business as a grant writer while I was in the corporate world, because I kept getting individuals as I was writing grants for medical universities and doing sales and marketing. I kept getting calls to write grants, and it really all started at a major medical university in Arkansas, when my principal investigator said, Claudine, I want you to look at this grant for me. I looked at the grant. I didn't like it. Tore it up. Rewrote it. This was to the National Institutes of Health, a major grant.
Wow.
And I rewrote it, handed it to him, you know, several weeks later, and he was blown away. Well, the smart thing that I did was I wrote myself into the grant. He loved it. And so he submitted that grant to NIH, and it got funded. So that solidified my next 2 years working with the medical university. So I was pretty strategic in rewriting the grant. So then word got out within various medical universities, and they wanted me to help them write grants. So that's how that grant writing business got started, is just while I was working full time, I was helping other institutions to write grants.
Got it. So you had that taste of, you know, doing something on your own that was entrepreneurial as well. And so when you decided to go back to work after your children were in middle school, what was going on in the world that you had that light bulb? Because you saw that grant, right? And it wasn't written well. And you said, oh my God, I could do so much better. And that's kind of where entrepreneurship comes from. We see something going on in the world, something outside of us that someone isn't doing well, or it could be done so much better, or you could be so much more effective. And that's where the idea is born. And then the service model unfolds from there. What was that initial inkling of an idea, that problem that you saw that you said, hey, I could solve that?
I tell you what, my husband said to me, he says, okay, if you want to get back in the working world, do it on your terms. You know, don't let someone or a company cap off your income. That's going to tell you how much you can make. So I thought, that's brilliant, of course, because I've always maxed out whatever my commission is. I loved working on commission because I always maxed it out. Did fantastically well doing that. And so the
change. Can we get an amen to no cap on income?
That's right. That's right. So my husband said, why don't you think about just doing something that you love, helping businesses. You're super organized. So I thought, well, gosh, project management comes so easy for me. Being from Jamaica and being raised on the British system, on the Queen's English and schooling, they're stressed writing properly, speaking correctly. So writing came easy for me when I came to the States. I was actually helping my classmates years ago with their writing, and I couldn't understand, why is it here in the States a lot of times that people can't write? So I was helping to write papers for my friends. So then my husband said, you can do this virtually. And I thought, what do you mean virtually? Nobody's working virtually. And at that time, you didn't hear of people working virtually. And so one day I was on the phone with Apple, with their Apple rep, and I heard this dog barking in the background. And I said, are you working from home? And she kept apologizing profusely. And she says, I'm so sorry. You're not supposed to hear that. And I said, no. Tell me more. Your secret is safe with me, you know? And she says, yeah, we work virtually, and there are, you know, a certain number of individuals that work remotely. And I thought, well, gosh. So the turning point was for me, if Apple can do it, I certainly could do it. So that was the turning point for me. And so I said, you know, I'm going to help businesses to achieve their goals, get them the right platforms to achieve their goals. And that's what I did. I said, if Apple could do it virtually, Claudine can do it virtually. So I created Virtual Ingenuity as a business organization to help other entrepreneurs, managers, and businesses to achieve their goals.
And that's such a beautiful way to describe it. It's because, you know, you saw that people had goals, or sometimes they don't even have goals, and they're floundering around wondering why nothing that they're trying is working. So let's talk a little bit, because we were talking before we hit record, about the primary challenges that you see new entrepreneurs make when they first get started. And you were talking about, you know, there's no strategic plan. Tell us more about that.
Right. With, you know, any business, you need a roadmap. Having a strategic and a business plan, they are two separate plans. Okay. A lot of my entrepreneurs, they don't know that. So you need a roadmap, a guide. It's just like building a house. There's a foundation to the house, right?
Yes.
So you need to know what your services are or what your product is that you're going to sell, number one. Now, you also need to know who your target audience is. Who is your ideal client, your ideal customer, or your avatar? Those terminologies are used synonymously. And then you have to put in place a strategy to attract your target audience to your services or your product. Along with that, Deb, you also need to have productivity tools. As women, we think that we're superheroes. I tell my kids, I'm superwoman. I can do just about anything, but I know my limits. I know that I can do four things at the same time. Once it gets to the fifth one, then something's gonna, you know, go awry. So I know what my limits are. It's important in business to know what you are capable of doing and what you need to outsource.
Yeah. So you're going fast here. So I'm going to rope you in and slow you down, because you're giving kind of like the whole roadmap. And I'm wanting to highlight something that you said that I don't want to get away. And that's, there's a difference between a business plan and a strategic plan. And I'd love for you to just tease that out a little bit, because we in the Launch Lab and the Six Figure Accelerator, I'm a huge fan of the Lean Canvas, right? So the one page business model canvas. But if you could just highlight for us, what's the difference between a business plan and a strategic plan in your mind?
So your business plan should map out your 5-year goals, okay? Mm-hmm. So it should have a wonderful SWOT analysis there. measurable goals.
SWOT meaning strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, right?
That is
for those
correct.
That didn't come from corporate might not be aware of that.
That is correct. Thanks for saying that, Deb. It should have who your competitor is. So it should have a competitor analysis. It should have details, just specific details on who your customers are. You know, your financial forecast, that is the most important part of a business plan. And I tell my clients, just leave the financial part to last because that usually hangs people up. Mm-hmm. And then we can come back to that. You also need to know, are there any investments that you're going to need for your business? Details about your management. Who's going to manage your business? There should be various tiers in your business. So what are they? What does your management team look like? That should be spelled out in your business plan. It should also include maybe a line graph that's going to depict how you're going to grow every year or every 6 months. What does that look like to you? And so that is what your business plan is. Now your strategic plan, Deb, is how are you going to get there? What are the strategies you're going to need to get to those goals? Okay, let's back up.
Yeah, how do you get to the cash, right? This is the path to the cash.
That's exactly right. So your business plan has your 1 to 3 year goal, right? So now your strategic plan is how am I going to achieve my 1 year, my 3 year, and 5 year goals? So that's really the difference. And the strategic plan is really just going to map out how you're going to get there step by step.
Yeah. So I think what many people skip is the business plan. And the biggest part of the business plan that they skip is how much money will I need to invest in getting this business off the ground? There's a good dose of naivete in the market when people first get started. And it's like, well, I got a referral or my current company let me stay on as a contractor, and that's going to be the start to my business. And then they just expect more of the same will come. And what happens over time is your colleagues change positions, they change companies, you lose touch with each other. And if you don't have a strategic plan, a marketing plan, some way of getting new clients, then eventually you'll find yourself with a dry pipeline and no way to make money. So it's so super important. And I think there's one thing in the business plan that people also skip is when they look at competing forces, they tend to just look at people who are direct competitors, you know, who are modeling. And sometimes you'll like model yourself after them, like, oh, I'll just price how they price, or, oh, I like the way they describe that, I'll describe that. So I'm not a huge fan in spending a lot of time with competitors. I think the biggest difference is like, how are you different? Like, what makes you different? What is your unique value proposition? What makes you unique in the market? Because sometimes the competitor is really your ideal client not doing anything, right? So they're not investing in any solution. And that's a competing situation as well that you need to overcome if you're going to sell to people as well. So let's talk about planning, because planning, in order to have a path to that cash, in order to get to your 1 year and 3 year goals, as you said, there needs to be a roadmap. So I hear so many new entrepreneurs say, you know, I get to my desk, I just don't know what to do. They don't know how to prioritize their time. So how do you work with clients? What do you tell people who don't know how to prioritize their time?
Well, prioritizing your time is key to being productive on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? So yeah. It's super important to develop time management skills. You know, it's so simple. It starts with the most simple things, closing your office door to avoid distractions. If you have a large window and there's a lot of activity going on, close your window, you know, for a certain amount of time. Set doable deadlines, Deb. You can't do everything at the same time. So it's really important to write down your deadlines. If you have various projects that you're working on, write down those deadlines and always allow yourself some wiggle room to accomplish those deadlines and prioritize which is more important to work on.
Yeah, it's like what's most important now.
That's exactly right. And then I mentioned before having productivity tools. well, we only have two arms, right? So we need other tools that are going to help us to manage our team. We sometimes need tools that are going to automate things for us. There are tools out there that will help us to prioritize our tasks, that will help us to have reminders to complete a task. There are tools that you can use to set a timer for a certain task, or to communicate effectively within teams, or even monitor the work activity to measure your profitability. The right tool, Deb, can be a lifesaver.
It can be. And I think a lot of people who go into entrepreneurship either have a strength in process skills, or they have a strength in the creative aspect of things. It's interesting that you have sales and marketing and systems and productivity, because that's rare in one person. And if you're on the creative end, then you're always setting new goals and new things that you want to achieve, but you don't always reverse engineer all the steps that need to go into accomplishing that goal, or the people or the resources that you need to do that. So I think step one is identifying, you know, what is the most important step you can take to meet that revenue goal, and then reverse engineer it, right? And then that is the prioritize your time. And then how do you figure out which productivity tools? So I'm thinking, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of calendar management tools. I can't survive without Calendly right now. I've got like 7 or 8 different calendar profiles, right? So give them to different people for different types of bookings. A CRM system. What are some of the other tools that you recommend to clients that enhance their productivity?
Sure, that's a great question. Thanks for asking that, Deb. So for CRM, you know, HubSpot could be your best friend for just a CRM if you need to keep track of your other clients or people that you come in contact with all the time. HubSpot, you can actually use that free. Their CRM is free. HubSpot I really like a lot because they also have tools to help you with your business. There are a lot of different articles that you can read on HubSpot, even with marketing, social media, just different things. You mentioned Calendly. There's also Acuity for keeping track of your calendar and for to have potential clients or your clients book through that. There's Trello, which is great. Trello is one of the most simple project management tools. The one that I love a lot is ClickUp. ClickUp is as if Trello and Asana. Asana is a little bit more of a complicated project management tool. ClickUp is if Trello and Asana had a baby. So ClickUp, it's very simple. You can add teams to it, which means you can assign your team a certain project or a certain goal or a certain task, and you could monitor whether or not they've completed that task. So you can communicate with your entire team by using a project management tool or productivity tool. So I highly recommend those tools.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I'm like really, really curious about ClickUp and managing teams and tasks because, you know, I think the Achilles heel of entrepreneurship is lack of documented standard operating procedures. And this is not the sexy topic. You know, we'll talk about social media marketing and SEO and all the AI tools and flashy stuff all day long. But if you don't have standard operating procedures that everyone on your team understands and can execute against, and we're always finding holes. I mean, I've been in this business for 10 years and we have a great client onboarding process. And we realized, embarrassingly so, last week that, oh, we don't have a great offboarding process if a client has completed and is moving on. And these are things that you can automate with all of these tools, right? You can use, and they all work together. And I think that's important. And for those of you who don't know what a CRM is, that's a customer relationship management tool, and a tool that not only manages customers and contracts and billing and all of that, but also prospects at various stages in the pipeline. So super important to not lose people because you can have a leaky lead bucket too.
That's right. And part of my onboarding process, Deb, with my clients at Virtual Ingenuity is I suggest that they sign up with ClickUp because I can assign them tasks to accomplish their goals through ClickUp. And it works beautifully for us. And they love it. And so then they start using it for their clients.
That's fantastic. I mean, if you're an affiliate for ClickUp, we'll put that link in show notes because I think it's sounds like a very important tool. And I have heard of it before, but never investigated it. So I'm fascinated by that. So how can an entrepreneur, whether they're, you know, let's say that you're between the growth and the scale phase, right? So you've been successful. Maybe you're at mid six figures, high six figures, looking to get to seven figures, or maybe you crack seven figures and you're looking to get to 5 million. There's various stages that entrepreneurs go through in the journey to scale their business. How do priorities change when you're going from growth to scale?
It depends on what your goal is. You know, is your...
And hence the importance of having goals.
Exactly. And your business plan. Because remember, we talked about this earlier in the show, is that once you hit your 3-year mark, what's your 5-year goal, right? So now it's time to look back at your business plan and your strategic plan to help guide you of how to get from your 3-year to your 5-year goals. So if you want to scale larger, then that's when you refer to your strategic plan to guide you on how to do that. Now, I will say this, once you have a business plan or a strategic plan, it just doesn't sit there and become stagnant. You have to update it, right? Industry trends change over time and they change really fast. So, you know, every month or so, I urge you to look at that plan and look at those plans because your strategy should change.
Absolutely. I mean, especially in this season where people are buying differently. I think it's easy to say that people are buying differently. Their priorities shift all the time. And so if you don't have your ear to the ground and the pulse of what's happening in your market, and you're just blindly sticking to a plan, that's going to come back to bite you in the butt because you're going to find yourself with a lot of no's. No, that's not what we want. No, that's not our right time. No, we don't have budget for that, as opposed to being really relevant to what's happening in this season of the economy and the evolution of markets and the evolution of technology. You know, right now, AI is changing a lot of things and how people operate and how people create content and software and imagery. And there's a lot of question around that and the regulation of it and the ethics of it and all of that. And 6 months ago, that wasn't on most people's radar.
That's right. And Deb, I also want to go back to this too. This goes back to outsourcing, which is so important. If you don't like to do the research on the industry trends, virtual ingenuity, we do this. This is what we do every day for our clients. So we research. Find, it doesn't have to be with me. It can be with, you know, a really credible company that you trust that has done this for years, that's successful at it. Have them do the research for you. Outsource that. And they can...
Oh, my God. I mean, I wish I had met you 10 years ago because, you know, market research is the basic foundation of everything that we do in the Launch Lab. And some people are just, you know, there's two types of research, right? There's secondary research, which is scanning the environment and the trends and what's going on. And then the primary research, which is, you know, what's happening in the markets that you serve with the people who are making decisions in those markets. And those are the interviews and documenting the results of those interviews. And that causes a lot of people stress. Because, you know, they don't want to be seen as needy or they don't like to reach out to strangers. When you hire a third party to do your market research, you're taken out of the equation, right? So your self-worth, your personality, none of that, you can't sway the results. You have a professional who's actually conducting the interviews and assembling the findings for you.
That's right. And so just to expound a little bit on that, if you know your industry trends, and you're having marketing services done for your company, then you're going to know which way to go. Virtual ingenuity, we provide digital marketing services. Do you know sometimes when you have, you're in a carpool line, you have a mom in carpool line, or you've just looked up an outfit on Facebook, and then all of a sudden you're getting all these ads about a certain style of outfit, and you wonder, well, how did that happen? Well, that's geofencing and georegency. And we help our clients to do this as well. We partner with Spectrum to do that. So once you know where the industry trend is, that may shift your clientele a little bit, right? And your target audience. So it's really important then to shift your marketing strategy a little bit and have that geofencing going on and georegency. So we can target a specific time zone. We can target a specific building. So all those moms that are in carpool line that are sitting there for 35 minutes waiting to pick up their kids and they're seeing all these pop-up ads, there's a reason why those ads are popping up. And we get into, you know, their phones and we know what they're looking at. And so those ads pop up then for your business.
So you are a rare gem in this industry in that you have the capacity to not only see the big picture, like what are the trends, you know, what would be a viable business plan for you and what would be a strategic plan that we could reverse engineer and help you there, get you there. But you also are well-versed in all the tools, the technologies, and the current marketing strategies that are working to grow businesses. So I'm curious, Claudine, who is an ideal client for you? Is it mostly brick and mortar? Is it mostly virtual service-based product? Who's an ideal client for you to work with?
That's a great question, Deb. An ideal client for me is a business that wants to grow, okay? That needs brand recognition because we will create logos. We will get your branding out there so that folks within your target market will know who you are. I get clients that come to me that are just starting a business and they need a logo. I have clients that come to me that are already established that want to scale their business. So then we need to do a lot of research to find out, well, really, is this really your target audience? Is this really who you want to target? What is your end result that you want to get from your business? And so then we may need to shift the focus and target a different audience. So it ranges from entrepreneurs that are just wanting to set up their business for brand recognition all the way up to those that have been in business for 5-10 years that want to scale their business and that want to now introduce digital marketing, or maybe they want to stick to traditional media where it's print, it's direct mail, it's billboards. So we do the content writing for those things. Or if you want to do digital media, we have social media, Google, market research, content writing. If they have a media package that they want to put together to get their name out there, we write the content for that. And we do that digitally. Going back to content development, social media posts, articles, blogs, we help them to do that as well.
And how many people do you have on your team, Claudine?
I've got quite a few people that are amazing to work with. I outsource because I know my limit, right?
So, of course, you can't do all those things. You can't be all those things for all those people. So, you know, you are a rarity in that there are so many specialists, right, that will do social media marketing, that will do brand design, that you are really a strategic one-stop shop for business owners who are looking for a guide that they can trust, who has been on this path, who's been successful in sales, successful in marketing, successful in strategy, and knows how to outsource and has a bevy of people, a cadre of people who you can outsource to who give quality results. So that's really special. So if people who are listening to the show want to get in touch with you, Claudine, what is the best way for them to connect?
Oh, thank you, Deb, for that. But that's why they call me the business strategist, right? Because I map out strategies to accomplish your business goals. So we're on Facebook, Virtual Ingenuity, LLC. We're on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can find me, Claudine Land, on LinkedIn. Virtual Ingenuity has a website. It is www.virtualingenuityllc.com.
We will put all of those links in the show notes.
And we also have the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast that is available for you to listen to on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. So that is a free podcast for you to listen to get you business resources to help to develop your business, grow your business. We talk about a variety of topics, such as you, Deb. So tune in. We'd love for you to listen, like, subscribe, and rate our podcast episodes. We're in season three.
You're in season three. Wow, that's fantastic. So congratulations, Claudine, on all that you've accomplished. And I'm sure the clients that you serve feel very fortunate to have found you. And, you know, we wish you great success. And thank you for sharing your wisdom with our listeners here today, too.
Thank you so much, Deb, for having me on your show. I appreciate it. I always love having two girlfriends come together for a chat.
I know. It's fantastic. So that's it for now, my friends. We will see you next time on Life After Corporate.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.